Hey there, happy Wednesday. It's John Corrales here in Houston, Texas, where the Boston Celtics lost the basketball game to the Houston Rockets, 116-105. And if you didn't listen to yesterday's show and you're wondering, where the hell is all that pre-produced music and that awesome Millie's intro? Well, I'm a moron. I'm an idiot. I forgot my podcasting laptop with all of those files at home. So I'm recording a bare bones podcast for you on my recorder with no additional editing. So I'm not stopping, which I try not to anyway, but I'm just going to power on through and do this as if it's a live broadcast and talk about this win. So I'm going to start with the frustration. The Celtics were very frustrated. And then I'll get into where the game kind of got away and some of the individual performances. And let's just begin with Marcus Smart, after the game, standing there in the visiting locker room, kind of pissed off, upset at the whole officiating thing, and not really caring that everybody around, the media around, could hear him. Even Kemba Walker was like, "Hey, man, maybe you want to chill in front of the media." And Marcus is like, "Nope, don't care." I'm not going to tell you everything that he said or exactly what he said. I didn't hear all the stuff that he said. All I know is it was a rant, and he just kept on going for the whole thing and was talking about, I heard the phrase, "It don't make no sense," a bunch of times. And he was trying to, I guess, talk about the explanation that he was getting, the justification that the referees were giving him for some of the foul calls. And I want to say, I get it. I think part of it is Marcus Smart was upset just in general. Like, he's pissed that he lost. He's pissed that the team lost, which I understand. They were clearly upset after the game. Kemba Walker after the game said, you know, "I wish I can go more into it, but I don't want to lose any money." Marcus Smart may lose some money. He might have gotten his $15,000 worth on that one. But they have some point to, and I'm sure that those of you who are very frustrated with the officiating are, you know, screaming like, "Hey, good for you, Marcus, because, you know, go out there and make your point and do your thing." So the Celtics, let's start with this. They were outshot at the free throw line. Houston had 42 attempts to Boston's 25. They made 37 to Boston's 20. They outscored the Celtics basically 20 by 17 at the free throw line in a game where Boston lost by 11. So that's frustrating, right? Although in the second half, this is the real telling number. The second half, the Celtics were outscored by 13. Is that right? Yes, 13. And it was all at the free throw line. And so they were outscored 27-14 at the free throw line. Both teams made 18 field goal attempts. Both teams made 6 three-pointers. But the Rockets took 31 free throws, made 27. And that's a lot. And it all came basically in the third quarter. I think the third quarter sucked for the Celtics. And I think in the third quarter, the Celtics deserved to be down by, I think they got down by as many as 10. I don't think they deserved to win that game. I don't think they deserved to get some of the calls that they were looking for. Or I don't think that the calls that went against them were egregiously bad. I just don't think that was the case. You look at all of the fouls on James Harden. Now, you can say they were ticky-tack fouls. Sure. In today's NBA, those are fouls. Some of them might be a little soft. Sure. But they're still fouls that he gets every day. Now, I would prefer that they weren't fouls that he gets. I would prefer that if the NBA really wanted to speed up games, that they'd allow some of the contact that they call and not send Harden to the line what'd he shoot? 17 free throws in this one? Yeah. No, he made 17. He shot 17 of 18 in this one. So I think it'd be great if they allowed a little bit, not necessarily full-on hand-checking like, you know, the 80s and 90s, but a little bit of contact. How can you defend in a basketball game? How can you come around a pick and not have a little bit of contact? I mean, that's just, it's a bit much. I think it's just a bit much. And I can tell you, I'm sitting here at, I mean, it's 2:46 in the morning back home. It's 1:46 a.m. And that game went long, like 8:30 start. By the time we got done with everything, it wasn't a 2.5 hour game, it went 2:45 or so. And that's a late finish for an NBA game. To go 15 minutes long or whatever it was, if the NBA wants to speed things up, looking at the types of fouls that get called, I think, is the first place to look. Now, but those are still fouls. And I'm not going to absolve the Celtics. Like, I don't want to sit here and just kill the refs, because the Celtics, how many pump fakes did the Celtics bite on? How many times did somebody on the Rockets up fake and the Celtics jumped, and then they do the jump into that person and get three free throws? How many times did that happen, especially in that third quarter? Celtics lost their discipline. They lost their control. And so, yeah, I get it that Marcus Smart was frustrated. But at the same time, the Celtics did a lot of this damage to themselves. And we can go through and pick apart all of the calls and say some of those calls were, you know, crap calls. That is sure. I'm not going to sit there and say they're not. When you keep biting on fakes and multiple people do it and you put them on the line for three free throws or rack up these fouls that put you in the penalty, that's your own fault. And if some of that momentum carries into other fouls being called, so be it. No game's going to be perfectly officiated. No ref's going to make every call right. The Celtics, I can tell you the difference in this game is the Celtics, when they drove, generally, they got the calls. They got the fouls. I think Kemba has a case for the end of the game, and he clearly got pissed off at the end of the game. But if you're not driving, if you're not attacking, and you're settling for jumpers, which the Celtics did for long stretches in this game, and credit the Rockets defense. The Rockets defense kind of made them do it. But settling for those jumpers is a recipe for not getting to the line. And the Celtics put the Rockets on the line by fouling them on jump shots. When James Harden jumps up for a shot and you lightly graze his elbow, well, that's a foul because you can't touch a shooter's elbow when he's shooting. You can't touch it. That's always been a foul. It's always going to be a foul. No matter how lightly you touch somebody's elbow, that's going to be a foul because that affects the shot, and that's the definition of a foul. And the Celtics got a lot of those little things, just barely enough to be a foul. That's what the Rockets do. That rant that Marcus Smart was going on was probably done by the last team that was in Houston and will be done by the next team that's in Houston, because that's what James Harden and Russell Westbrook do. And they combined to shoot, 31 free throws to Boston's 25. Those two guys combined to shoot 31 free throws. They force the issue, and Harden is just a freaking wizard at drawing fouls. That's just the thing that he's really, really good at. So I get the frustration. I get that they're pissed off. I get that you're pissed off. And it's not entirely without reason, but at the same time, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and look at all of the dumb mistakes that were made in this game. Look in the mirror and look at all those little touch ticky-tack fouls that were actually fouls, okay? You want to say that Westbrook elbowed Smart in the face? Yeah, okay. That should have been an offensive foul? Yeah, there's probably like two or three of those you can probably point to and say, see, I agree with that. That's fine. But that's not all of it. That's not how the game was lost. Game was lost with bad mistakes. I'm going to take a break. Going to come back. We'll talk about more of how this game was lost. So the Celtics had a bad third quarter, I'll say. They outscored the Rockets in the second quarter, 30-24, but then were outscored 31-22 in the third quarter. They weren't able to stop the Rockets in the second half. They lost their discipline. They lost their poise. They lost their game plan. They didn't do the things that Brad Stevens was saying that they needed to do. They didn't stick to their defensive principles. They didn't stick to the way they wanted to defend Harden. They kind of got away from a lot of the things that they were trying to do. Part of the problem was Jaylen Brown, who was hurt. And Jaylen Brown, before the game, said that he was going to go because of the things that he feels like he could bring to this team, which is a lot when he's healthy. It's a lot. When he's healthy, he can do all of the things that the Celtics needed somebody to do in this game. But he's clearly not healthy, okay? The ankles are still a problem. He went up for a dunk in the fourth quarter, and he came down and he grimaced because his ankles are still sore. And I appreciate his desire to help the team. And if you look at the box score, he did do good things. I mean, he shot well. He shot 4 of 8 from 3. It's not like he did nothing. He had 19 points. But defensively, he wasn't able to be what the Celtics needed him to be. So the question with Jaylen in particular is how much was his inability to be as explosive a hindrance for the Celtics? And I want to be clear. I'm not putting this all on Jaylen. I'm just highlighting one person right now because there's plenty. There's plenty to go around. I know as soon as I do this, there's the Jaylen versus Jason, which, by the way, can just say, I freaking hate that this is how it is. And I want Celtics fans to just stop because this is stupid. And it's not everybody, but I see it. If I criticize or somebody else criticizes Jaylen, this doesn't mean that you have to criticize Jason Tatum equal amount. Or if I don't criticize Jason Tatum, it doesn't mean that I'm picking one over the other. For some reason, people are choosing sides. And I don't get it. And it needs to stop because, first of all, you're going to rob yourself of the appreciation of the other guy. If you say, I'm a Jason person and, you know, I don't like Jaylen, well, why? Then vice versa. Or I don't like him as much. Like, you don't have to like him equally, but this doesn't have to be a pick one thing. They both play on the same damn team. So if one gets highlighted for good or for bad, please don't turn this into the, oh, what about this other guy? Because that's just infuriating. And it creates a division where there sure as hell shouldn't be one. So anyway, my point about Jaylen is that he was clearly hobbling. He said afterwards, I didn't feel like myself out there. He said it flat out. He wants to play on Thursday. Congratulations. I'm glad. I appreciate his desire to play and want to be out there for his team. Take the day off. Just forget it. Okay, I know the Celtics want to win that game. You want to win that game. Start your All-Star break. Start the break now. It's not worth it. Just, I'd rather have somebody out there that's at full strength, and the Celtics can figure out. The Celtics are good at playing down a guy. So I want Jalen to be healthy because they'll need him the next time they play the Rockets. So I think I kind of lost my train of thought there about why I got into the whole Jalen thing. But the Celtics, getting back to the third quarter, things fell apart in the third quarter. They got frustrated. They got away from the what was working in the second quarter. And again, credit to the Rockets for being physical and really frustrating, I think, the Celtics with the switching. One overarching theme, I think, from the post game was, when we play him again, we'll be better. As it really, Gordon said that. I think Tatum said that. I know I heard it a third time. The Celtics, I got the feeling that they were thrown off by some of Houston's tactics. And I get the feeling that, and this is a somewhat prevailing thought outside of the team, people online, the feeling is that in a series, this team, the Rockets, can be figured out. And the tone of the postgame, where the Celtics were kind of like, yeah, next time we'll get them. I think they feel like they know something. And so, but for now, it didn't work. And the Rockets kind of confused them with how often they switched, with switching on things that the Celtics didn't expect them to switch on. So part of why the Celtics kind of got out of their own rhythm, the things that were working, is because the Rockets forced them to do that. At the same time, I really think that the Celtics needed to attack, because once they were getting to the rim, they did a good job of drawing those fouls and finishing. And I think Daniel Theis had a couple of plays where he was really important. He didn't do a ton overall, 11 points, 9 rebounds. But when they attacked, when they got to the rim, and they really should have gotten to the rim, I think a bit more, they did well. Brad Stevens kind of was upset about the stagnant offense. I was asking him, because before the game, they're talking about discipline. This team needs to be disciplined and continue doing the things that they do, continue running their game plan. And they lost that discipline in this game. So in the third quarter, while they were kind of settling for jumpers, the Rockets were not only baiting the Celtics into jump shots and jumping into their own jump shots, they did a good job, I think, of turning the Celtics over. The Celtics had 5 turnovers in the third quarter. Before the game, Brad said, you got to take good shots, protect the ball, don't turn it over, and you got to be disciplined on defense. The Celtics did not take good shots. They turned the ball over a bunch in that third quarter especially, and I think, was it 18 overall turnovers? 18. 5 in 1 quarter. They didn't take care of the ball, they didn't take good shots, and they lost their discipline on defense. You can get mad at the refs all you want, but those are 3 facts, and those are the 3 things that Brad Stevens said they needed to do before the game, and the team didn't do it. Not enough. They did it for stretches, not enough. So that's what it boils down to. Okay, let's take a break. I'll wrap it up. I'll just run down the box score here and give my opinion on everybody's game. Do that next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Okay, so Jason Tatum did not have a particularly good game, although he did get to the line, 5 of 9 from the line, but 15 points on 5 of 15 shooting, 0 of 7 from 3. He was due for a game like this. You could see it coming. At some point, one of these games, he was going to kind of cool off a little bit. He was shooting 50% from 3 over the past 3 or 4 games. So this is what's called a regression to the mean. This is just water finding its level, whatever the cliche is. Like, this is, as much as you want to say that, you wish it doesn't happen, of course you wish it doesn't happen, but it happens. And you want the hot shooting to continue, but he was never going to shoot 50% from 3 for the rest of the season. So 0 of 7 from 3 in this one. 9 rebounds, 4 assists, the 4 steals. I mean, he did other things, but not an overall great game. I already talked about Jaylen Brown. Again, if he's hurt, just sit him down. It was a calf. He got kicked in the calf, so it was a calf contusion, a bruise. Sort of like a deep muscle bruise or something like that. That's sit back, relax. Don't even just send him to his tropical location or whatever. Get out. Don't even go to that Clippers game, buddy. Go chill in the Bahamas for a week and come back feeling good. Daniel Theis, talked about him a little bit. Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, I thought, was pretty good generally, and I think they needed to get the ball. They needed to get the ball through him a little bit more, actually. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Thought, generally speaking, Hayward did a decent job in this game. Obviously made some mistakes, but I think he was probably their best player in this game. Kemba, again, not a great shooting night. Another not great shooting night. 5 of 17, 1 of 6 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line. If anybody has a real beef with the officials, it's Kemba, because he was driving late in the game, and they weren't getting the calls, and he was clearly, obviously, very, very frustrated. And to a point where I think he just stopped. On one play, he just stopped. And it was inconsequential. The game was over. But he just kind of like stopped because he was so pissed. And he said after the game that he has to be better about being outwardly pissed like that, because that kind of, once Kemba's pissed, everybody else can kind of feel like, oh, well, Kemba's not happy, then we all have the kind of clearance to not be happy. So Kemba accepts his part in that. And, look, at some point, it's like the reverse Tatum. His shooting is going to come around. He's feeling good. He says he feels good. He's on a bit of a minutes restriction as well. He only played 28 minutes. I don't know if this game would have been different if he had gotten in earlier in the fourth quarter, but he's on a minutes restriction. What can you say? They're trying to look at the long-term health of his knee. So if Kemba could have played 34 minutes like Tatum and Gordon, then maybe 6 more minutes of Kemba Walker makes a difference in this game, especially when you consider that third quarter or that early part of the fourth quarter, like the Celtics cut it to 2. If Kemba had been available for more of it, maybe they could have taken the lead. And as soon as that happens, the entire dynamic of the game changes. So it's impossible to know how it would have gone, but it's possible that more minutes from Kemba could have changed a lot of this. Marcus Smart did not have his best game. I thought he took some bad shots. He took one shot in particular. I forget where. I want to say it was in the third quarter. It was a step back 3, and Brad Stevens' reaction was hilarious because he was very, very not happy with that shot selection. 3 of 9 for Smart, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He was frustrated. I told you all about it. I think he just has this chip on his shoulder when it comes to the officials, and he just feels like he doesn't get a certain level of respect. And I don't know. I'm not out there. I'm not sure what's being said to him. He feels like, as good as a defensive player as he is, he's not getting the respect from the officials. And that's the part that's going to really, I think, cost him the money, because he's out there saying, hey, some guys get calls, some guys don't. NBA doesn't like that kind of attitude being thrown out there publicly. So we'll see. But in general, Marcus Smart didn't have the best game. Not much else to say. Well, Grant Williams was overmatched. We didn't get a whole lot of other time. This was a really short rotation. Wanamaker got 20 minutes, and that's about it. Cantor had 8 minutes, and they were a bad 8 minutes. This is not a good matchup. Could have told you that was not a good matchup. This is a Rob Williams matchup. It will, 2 years from now, it will be, or a year from now even possibly, be a Grant Williams matchup. Like, Grant should have, and maybe Grant should have gotten in a little earlier, but he also didn't play particularly well, and it's hard for me to argue that he should have gotten in earlier when he played like he did. Maybe you get him in there with some of the other starters. I don't know. I think Grant just had a rough game. He's a rookie. They took advantage of him a bit, and it is what it is. Cantor was, unplayable. Just one of those games where he's unplayable. I didn't like the plays that he was making. I didn't like the fact that he was clogging the lane. This is, you play a team like the Rockets, and they are spreading you out. And I talked about it yesterday in the podcast. They want to bait you into post-ups. And Brad Stevens, unprompted by me, said before the game, they'll bait you into post-ups. And you think you can, but you can't. And Cantor tried to post up, and it didn't work. And in fact, PJ Tucker baited him into an offensive foul that you could see coming. You can see the way he was setting up. He was setting Cantor up to take that square in the chest and fall backwards and draw the foul. And he did. It worked perfectly. Cantor was not good in this game, and I'm just going to stop talking about that. Everyone else didn't play much. Little Shimmy Ojeleye minutes. Grant came in, was eh. Romeo Langford got 4 minutes. That didn't go well necessarily. Javonte Green got in at the end. I don't know what to tell you other than the Celtics got beat, and they got pulled out of their game plan. That's what the Rockets are. That's who the Rockets, that's what they do. They pull you out of your game plan. If you let the Harden thing frustrate you and you lose your discipline, then you lose the game. I've used this comparison for other things before, but it works, I think, in the movie 300, when they talk about the phalanx, you all stay together. And if anybody breaks that, the entire thing breaks down. Well, they broke it in this one. They didn't keep their discipline, and the phalanx broke, and that's when Harden started going off. And that's when the third quarter happened, and the third quarter is where this game was lost. It wasn't, they turned it over a bunch down the stretch, but the third quarter is where the game was lost. I'm going to wrap it up, and then hopefully tomorrow we'll get a little bit more cohesive thought when I can talk to somebody else about the game and have my normal setup. I'm honestly a tiny bit thrown off by this, but that's okay. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. I've been talking for half an hour with no break, no water, and that's enough for me. So I'm going to wrap it up and say thank you for listening. All of you regular listeners, all of you new listeners, I should say, welcome aboard. Please subscribe. All of you regular listeners, please rate and review. 5-star rating, good written review would be awesome. Share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.